Good afternoon, listeners. This is Rhonda Harrison with Roadmap for Seekers in Red Feather Lakes, Colorado, and today our guest is Susie Daggett. She writes and speaks and teaches about the continual interactions between the soul and ego in our everyday living. She writes two columns for Facebook and her website, Dear Source, a conversation with Source Energy about spiritual concepts in plain language, and a Q&A column with Claire, her soul and poetry. Her ego, to understand that lovely balance between soul needs and ego wants. Her book, Pearls, 52 Contemplative Insights, offers practical life advice and timeless spiritual wisdom. Susie is an intuitive business life consultant. You can find out more about her at DearSource.com. And hi, Susie, how are you today?
Hey, Rhonda, welcome, my hummingbird friend. You can explain
yes.
what that's about.
Well, the hummingbird is one of the only birds that can fly in all four directions. The Native Americans believe that it's a direct sign of Source or the divine, and that and the Great Spirit, and it helps take out the pain in the heart and bring joy to the heart through their flutterings and their movement that they have. And they're just amazingly beautiful right now, because I have two different types right now, Rufuses and Ruby Throats. And the Rufuses have orange throats, and the Ruby Throats, of course, have the ruby throat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we were both visited this week by hummingbirds, which we talked
yeah.
about before the show, which I find is fascinating because, for me, as someone who is on a whatever we want to call it, we really don't have a name for it, but many people call it the spiritual journey. I call it what the soul is really needing to learn in this earth life. If we see symbols like that and take note of it and then reflect on it, it can really make a change in our lives. And that requires us to slow down a little bit and be aware and be conscious and know what it is that our soul is calling out for, rather than what our ego says, do this, do this, do this, do this, and has our endless list of things to accomplish during the day and ways to keep us in absolute conformity with what the ego feels is necessary, not what the soul needs for inner growth. And that growth is not just on this side of the veil, on this earth world, but when we pass on the other side, there's still school going on. And it's a
yes.
beautiful thing. It's just different than what we experience on this side, because we don't feel the definitive love of Source here as easily as we do on the other side. So that's
and that's
nice
so true for... Yeah.
Yes, it's to me it's fascinating, this this intersection between what the soul needs for growth, and each one of us has a different need there. You know, we're not in this as we're in this as one, but we each are unique individuals connected to Source. Each of us has something to learn, and I would not venture to guess what yours is, Rhonda, and you would not venture to guess what mine is, because it's an individual inner look at saying, that
mm-hmm.
makes sense to me. That is who I am, not who I am pretending or constructed to be. I will go that way instead of this way. And recognizing what society wants for us, which is really the ego involvement, and what our soul wants us to learn, which is going to get us maybe out of a karmic pattern. I don't know. That's a big mystery to me. I mean, I believe in the karmic world very much, and I believe in reincarnation, because I feel that as souls, we're eternal, and we come back over and over again to learn more about love. It's all about love, but how we get to that love part is very different. It could be somebody who has had a horrible, horrible life and is so emotionally disconnected that he or she ends up definitely harming others. What's that about, you know? And, oh, dear me, let me turn this off. I had to turn you off, Rhonda. I was listening to myself on your show. Sorry about that.
Oh.
I know, I had it on my my page, and all of a sudden it came up. But, you know, everybody's here to learn something different. And some people have very sweet lives in which they don't have much to learn. Now, why is that, Rhonda? What do you attribute that to?
Re-say the question. I'm sorry.
So people who have very sweet lives and they don't have a lot of trauma and drama,
mm-hmm.
What is that about for them? What do you consider that? When most people suffer so much with lots of trauma and drama, and then you see somebody who just kind of like floats through life. And how does
well,
that happen?
I think sometimes that happens because they're as expanded as they can be at that time, mm-hmm. So their lives are a little more, what do I want to say, like, you know, figure speech of being kind of swaddled in, you know, to be because of their comfort zone and that type of thing. Because I know that some people, when they do have a drastic trauma and they've never really had that, then it's like their fight and flight is just like really super active, and the anxiety is pretty high. And then you see other people who go through a lot of things and it's just like no big deal for them, you know. I mean, it is a big deal, but they don't show it to everyone on the outside of themselves. They take it as a learning lesson.
Yeah. Well, they live a little bit more of a Zen life where they are a little more disconnected, and not in a bad way, but they're a little more neutral about how the effects of others are being worked towards them. So somebody who is living a little more, and the Zen life is just kind of an easy way to say it. It means it's a little more, and I'm not saying that you should go off and learn Zen meditation, because it is a very difficult path for those who want to do it. But you can learn some of their attributes, which is to be watching things, but not be attached to them. And that's a whole different thing. And that's how people, I think, are easy to live, are finding it, that they can live a more easeful life. Because just driving on the freeway and somebody wants to get in front of you, if you let them get in front of you, you're not attached to them being in front, in the side, or behind you. You're saying, go ahead, you can have the road, it's yours now. And you give it with grace, and you're not attached to the fact that they needed to be in front of you. That's their issue, not yours. That's a little bit of a
right.
Zen, very simple explanation of how to be living in ease, which is different than living with stress and worry and concern and how is this going to happen. And you can even hear the difference in my voice, because it speeds up when you get into the ego side. It's like, oh, gosh, you know, you get pissy and you get worried and you get disorganized and you cannot figure things out and you're just doing everything too quick and you're attached. You're so attached, especially attached to being right. And I'm in the throes of finishing up a new book called Dear Source, Reflections on Life, Ego, and Soul. And a lot of it, well, not a lot of it, but some of their posts sent to Source Energy. And several of them are about being right, because that is so prevalent in the human ego world, that the ego wants somebody to be right, you know, to prove their point, to be on top, to be to really get where they need to get, and sometimes run over people in that getting there. Where the soul doesn't have that. The soul will allow things to be, and it will be remembering how to be soft and open and let things happen as they happen, be proactive with life rather than reactive as the ego is. And I continue to find it fascinating in everyday life to watch people, just even at the market or at an event, as they either talk to each other and where their edges are. Are they coming from an open, soulful, creative, right brain spot, or are they coming from a more upright, mean, not always mean, but just like, left brain, analytical, got to do it this way spot? Because everyone comes from those two, and at one point you can balance between the two, and you can recognize where your ego is driving you, and is it driving you somewhere good? Sometimes it does, and sometimes it drives you to places where you're in confusion and sadness and quarreling and all the parts of life. You're emotionally disconnected instead of being connected and present with people, which is what the soul would like you to do. So I just watch and learn and listen.
You're kind of like me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So
yeah, because I kind of do the same thing, and I find that in nature it's a lot easier to sit still than it is if you're in town.
Yes, and you have the opportunity to be in the Rockies with all the trees and all the love of you're up there and the beautiful smells and everything. And I live in a town with a lot of pines and oaks and cedars and I can get to nature like in an instant. I'm not in New York City. I'm not in Los Angeles or Chicago or San Francisco. But even if you are in those very busy towns and cities, you can find refuge within yourself first. And that's a complete practice of being able to hear the traffic and not let it bug you. Be able to hear your neighbors argue and not let it get under your skin. How can you do that? How can you go from that discourse into ease? And it is all you. It's not them, even though you want to blame it on them because they're the ones making the noise. The cars are the ones that are honking. The ambulances are going all the time. And it's easier to blame them rather than go into yourself and say, oh, an ambulance. I hope whoever's in it is okay. There's just a huge difference. Or, oh, my neighbors are arguing again. I'm going to send them some light so they can lighten up.
Yeah.
And then it's not their fault. It's not your fault. You're being neutral, and you're trying to help as best you can. And then go on vacation. Get on a ship and go somewhere or something.
Exactly.
But how do you distinguish your ego from your soul, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, my ego wants to take pride in things or count for them as, you know, as part of myself. And my soul side is more, you know, I don't want to take credit for what I do so much as I want the divine to have the credit, you know, when I'm doing my readings or doing my everyday life. You know, I want to be a walking example. And I think when you're in that soulful place, you're a lot more aware of how you approach the world and how the world approaches you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and I just try to be sensitive to people, you know, and, you know, and be open with, you know, how can I help, or, you know, what's the next right thing to do right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's such a difference in living that way rather than the way of always having to be right and prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the soul wants you to do the work that you're doing, and I actually think the soul wants you to take credit for it, because that, when you can take credit for it, you can feel like you are doing what you're here to do. If
mm-hmm.
if you don't take credit for it, you could almost have this disconnect about how useful you are and what your value and worth is.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm
your
starting
worth is
that
very,
more.
Very important.
Yes.
Say it again.
I'll be right back. Go on ahead and talk about that subject. I'll be right back with you.
So, yes. If somebody is in a position of not understanding how valuable they are as a human being, living through and with their soul, they're not being aware of their value, because every single person on this earth is valuable for one reason or another. And our job as souls learning to live in this world is to recognize what our value is. For some people, it might be making the best bread in the universe for a small group of people, their family. And for somebody else, it might be spreading the word of the gospel. That might be their valuable voice, but they have to feel that they're valuable. And, of course, they have to feel they're part of source energy, where it all comes from, to be able to go forward in this world. If somebody is feeling like they're not valuable, and this has happened to me and I'm just learning about this, you know, we're just all here on this earth trying to figure it out, you know, if you're not feeling valuable, there's something disconnected about you. You're not feeling that you're worthy, that you're enough, that somebody else knows so much more than you do. That may or may not be true. Somebody else may have a lot of practical school knowledge, but they may not have wisdom. They may have a lot of letters behind their name showing where they've taught and what they do, but they may not have heart and soul. Everybody contributes something different to this beautiful land that we live in. And everybody can walk in pride, and that's not pride that is brought on through the ego. That is pride and proud of yourself, in which you're centered in your own inner awareness. And you stand tall. You end up walking differently and holding your head differently. And it's not like you're putting yourself out there as somebody special. You are feeling good within yourself. You're saying, I want to be me. I am proud of being me. I am proud of being who I am. And then you spin to the question of, but wait a minute, who am I? What do I like? What makes me tick? Do I like macaroni and cheese that I was fed all my life as a young child and told that this is the most nutritious thing you could eat? And I go, no, I actually don't like macaroni and cheese at all. I'm going to choose salad, or I'm going to choose carrots, or I'm going to choose something else. Those kind of distinctions that seem very simplistic are what help you learn to be who you are. I do this kind of fun thing when I go to a restaurant or when I'm at the market trying to figure out what to buy for dinner. I will, if I'm at a restaurant, I'll scan the menu very quickly And if my eyes linger on tuna melt, and then I keep looking at the menu and my eyes come back to tuna melt, I go, I think that what I'm going to have is a tuna melt. Rather than relying on, that's an intuitive way to choose food, rather than relying on the linear left brain analysis of the whole menu, which I'm sure everybody has done and you've seen people do at lunch or at dinner. I tell you, the intuitive way of choosing your food is much faster, and 99.9% of the time you get what your body needs, what your soul needs, and you show yourself that you can do this. You can find out what you want, which leads to the deeper question of who you are. And I hear that Rhonda is back. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that, listeners.
You had to leave us for a minute.
Live,
now I felt
live
like I
radio's
was
fun.
Rambling.
Sometime, but
yeah.
You didn't know.
Yeah.
You did really well, and I think you explained the things that, you know, a lot of people have trouble with of, you know, trusting, what I call trusting your gut. You know, I mean,
oh,
I had
absolutely.
To learn that.
It's the
you know, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, and I learned a while back, you know, quite a few years back, that it was best for me to go to the grocery store without a list and see what called out to me versus buying
yes.
what I thought I needed. And I have
yes.
found that that's a lot
yes.
more helpful for me.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm always amazed at people who have lists because they're very linear and they've got their whole menu set out for a week or something. I end up going to the market sometimes twice a day or four times a week or whatever. And then I look in the fridge and I go, oh, I had that. I'll put that together. Isn't that interesting? And almost
mm-hmm.
always it comes out as a very, very good, nutritious meal. But I cook very intuitively, which my mom suggests I got from her, which is probably right. My son cooks
mm-hmm.
very intuitively. He looks in the fridge and goes, mm-hmm, we had this, mm-hmm. And suddenly there's this gorgeous meal in front of us. We are not relying on cultural standards to tell us what we need to eat for our body. You know, if you want to eat a lot of bacon, maybe that's not so good, but maybe if you have it twice a week or something and your body says, yes, bacon, go for bacon. But if society
mm-hmm.
says you need to have bacon-wrapped celery with peanut butter in it, you go, you know, that's like a sales pitch. I don't think I'm going to go for that. That's discernment of what you need for you because you're a unique, kind, loving human being with a very big soul. And the more you can express that in the grocery store, getting a parking spot through your parking angels, whatever it is, trust your gut. It makes such a difference in life, doesn't it, Rhonda?
You know, it does. It makes it so much easier, and then you don't have that self-doubt. Well, is that what I really should have eaten when it doesn't taste quite right, you know, or it's not what your body really wants, you know, and it
mm-hmm.
doesn't taste as good as you thought it was going to taste. You know, I mean, I've learned that over the years, you know, that my body knows exactly what it wants. If it wants wheatgrass juice and wants 3 ounces of it, that's what I want, you know. And other
mm-hmm.
times it may be, you know, bacon-wrapped shrimp on the barbecue, you know. But, you know, it's whatever calls to my attention. It's not one of those things that, I mean, I don't eat according to what everybody else says I should eat anymore because I eat a lot of eggs and everybody's like, oh, that's not good for your heart. And you have a pacemaker. And it's like, I don't have a problem with my cholesterol. So, you know, I don't know,
yeah.
you know, why you have a problem with it. But for me, I mean, I eat a lot of eggs and it keeps me from going into being a diabetic because I eat a certain amount of protein per day. And I've really, you know, measured, you know, like 20 almonds will lower my blood sugar by 20 points, you know, or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a, you know, you have to kind of play with it to see what really works and what doesn't work for you, because everybody's bodies are different. I've noticed since I've come home, I don't eat as much red meat because my family are real big red meat eaters. And and I haven't eaten red meat since I've been home, and I'm totally fine with, you know, just vegetables or chicken or, you know, beans or whatever. And it's a lot, it's just easier for me to eat what I feel drawn to rather than eating what, you know, I planned out 2 weeks ago for this meal. I mean, I used to be one of those, you know, that planned out every meal around my kids and, and time frame.
Yeah.
And now it's like I eat when I want to eat, you know, and if it's four times a day, it's four times a day. If it's once a day, that day I only needed it once a day.
Well, the operative word in all this, and it's the intuitive, mm-hmm. creative, right brain, soulful word, is feeling. What do mm-hmm. I feel I need rather than what do I know or think I need? So the soul will always come from a feeling point of view. It will feel things out and it will make decisions. Excuse me, much, much, much quicker than the linear left brain who has to analyze mm-hmm. and think things. That's why you can do this at the restaurant. And you can get a, I have to take a sip of water. You can get a very good hit on what it is you want versus what your seatmate wants. And
mm-hmm.
you can do this over and over. I would invite the audience to try it and see where it leads them. See if they can learn to trust. Feel into it. And it's a different sort of thing. It's a switch, and it's not automatic. It's a practicing switch. When I need to go to town, I live in a pretty popular town that doesn't have sometimes enough parking. I don't buy into there's not enough parking idea. Secondly,
mm-hmm.
if I'm leaving my driveway, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to this store. Where shall I go? And I let my parking angels or whatever you want to call them just give me an immediate go this way, turn this way, park there. And I'm going, okay, that's kind of weird, but I'll follow it. The minute I
mm-hmm.
say, nah, there won't be a parking space there, it's right. There's not a parking space there. But
mm-hmm.
if I follow the intuitive early nanosecond hit without thinking about it or overthinking it, there is a parking space. Somebody's just pulled out, and I pull in. Or it's just sitting there waiting for me. And this happens, 95% of the time. Nothing is 100% because then that's just another learning session for us in our world. But you have to believe it. You have to trust it. And you have to be neutral with it. Don't try and think it out because that will kill it every time. Every time you think it out, you'll kill it. But when you feel into it, you're allowing it and opening up to these fabulous, fabulous, mysterious ways of the universe that support us. And I love living in that field.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. There's nothing better. I happened upon a friend of mine yesterday who I hadn't seen for some time, and I actually wrote about him in my latest e-news, which is on my Facebook page, Facebook/Dear Source. And he is this guy who is irrepressible. He's infectious with happiness. And he needn't be because he had a leg that had a very big trauma to it. And the doctors wanted to remove the leg. He said, no, you're not removing my leg. I'm fine. And he went home and he just went to a lot of physical therapy, and he did all the things he could do in his own world to keep that leg. And today he walks 5 miles each and every day and laughs and giggles and brings happiness to all the trees and the flowers and any person that's anywhere close to him. He has a loud, booming laugh. He has a childish abandon about life. This is fabulous. Can we not all have some sort of happiness like that, that just is ingrained in us? Because he refuses to be a victim. He won't be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in his vocabulary. He has made a conscious, soulful choice to just be with life as it is and enjoy every moment. It is just amazing to be around someone like that. If we could take 10 of our best friends who are on the grumpy edge and turn them into somebody who has a happiness edge, whew, man, the world would change on its axis.
Uh-huh.
And we can all be that way. We can find our happiness spot. Tomorrow I'm actually doing a webinar with a couple other people called Soul Activators. We wrote a book together, 22 Soul Activators. And we're going to be on a webinar, and if anybody's interested and emails me, I can email the link to them, or it's on my website, DearSource.com, under events. And we'll be talking about a happy soul. One guy wrote a book on happiness and what it takes to be happy and why your soul loves to be happy. And there's certain adjectives you could all think of about happiness. You know, joy and love and cleverness and fun and dancing and singing, and it goes on and on. But I would much rather be in the happiness world than the grumpy world. How about you?
Oh, yeah, I'd much rather be in a happy space than in an unhappy space, because I don't do that very well. I was just thinking, I do a laughing group once a day at 10 o'clock at night, and we laugh for 10 minutes, and we do it on a Skype call, and there's like 25 of us that all connect, and then there's others that connect in the mornings at 8 a.m., and we laugh for 10 minutes and then do a lot of deep breathing, and, you know, it totally changes your dream format, your life format, the way you wake up, the way you sleep, and I think that that's the biggest thing that most people don't do much of is laugh. And I think there's
mm-hmm.
times where we just need to start laughing and go with it for 3 to 5 minutes. You know, just if you're we're in that bad space or in that worried, anxious mode, you know, and just shake it off, because we laugh literally at anything and everything that's going on in our life, good or bad, because it's just for today and it's not going to last forever. And
yes.
There's no reason to get reactionary.
Mm-hmm. Well, a reactionary response is completely from the ego. You know,
mm-hmm.
when people start dissecting what is that the ego, what's different between the ego and the soul, I mean, some things are quite obvious. So the ego is completely reactionary. And that doesn't mean reactionary in a laughing way. You know, that's proactive. You're bringing that on. You're inviting it in. A reactionary way is you wake up, and Mondays are sometimes like this for me. And it's just a grumpy day. I don't know why Mondays are grumpy, but they are for other people as well. And you have a choice. You can say, okay, oh, yeah, it's Monday. Yeah, sometimes I'm grumpy. So what do I do to get out of my grumpiness? You know, I might go out and tidy up the yard, or I might sit and pet my cat, or I might read some spiritual texts, or I might meditate longer, or I might do a walk, because I really love to walk, and that gets me, it shifts. Anything that shifts that left brain hold on us into the creative right brain, and that can be a yoga or dance or singing or playing an instrument, writing, anything that's creative that's out
mm-hmm.
of that holding pattern of the ego is what one has to do to make the shift. And laughter is definitely one of those. And I'm curious how you get into the mode of laughing. How does this happen on your Skype calls?
It's kind of contagious, actually. What happens is one or two of us will start laughing, and then the rest will slowly chime in, or we'll chime in pretty quickly together, you know, and it's like once we get it going, it kind of rolls on its own, to which I didn't think it would do something like that, you know, because it's always like, well, you can't force a laugh, you know, you think to
mm-hmm.
yourself, but, you know, you can make yourself think of something that's funny and then just keep going with it and letting it roll through your body and let it remove a lot of that negativity and those, you know, uncomfortable experiences you've had over the day and just let it go instead of taking it to bed with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful idea. I bet people could find their own group of friends and set up a special time to do that.
Yeah, and just make it a group call, and it's amazing how it works. And, you know, we have people in Russia and in California and Hawaii and South America and, you know, in Colorado and, you know, all over the world and all over the United States. And, you know, and it's not always the same bunch of us all the time, you know. And, you know, if you want to be able to get in on that call, just IM message me on Facebook at Rhonda Harrison. On Facebook, or you can email me at thesearchersroadmap@gmail.com, and I can give you instructions on how to start something like that, because it's really, it sounds kind of odd, but yet it works so well. And I've been working with this apprentice, Latimira, out of Siberia, and with her, everything's beautiful. There's no mistakes. You know, it's happening the way it's supposed
mm-hmm.
to. You know, even though it's a bad situation, there's going to be good that comes out of it. And, you know, and it's helped me a lot with, because I broke my back in November. And it's helped me get myself back up and in the picture, you know, because they told me, well, you'll probably always have a cane or a walker. You won't walk unassisted, and I'm walking unassisted. And Latimer told me, dance,
well,
you know, don't listen to them.
And that's, that's your belief system. You're not a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I tell people. You are.
Exactly.
If you go to the doctor, it's wonderful to be able to get a baseline and know what's going on with you and
mm-hmm.
all that. That's really fabulous. You need that. But you're not a statistic. You are not a statistic. You are an individual, and how your body, your mind, and your soul recuperates or regenerates or grows is entirely up to you. It is not up to
mm-hmm.
A pill or an operation. Not that you don't need the pill or operation. You might.
Mm-hmm.
But the after effects are and your complete belief in a situation will make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I broke an elbow many years ago, and I was with a friend who immediately started doing Reiki and gave me some arnica. So that was a helpful. And then when
mm-hmm.
I went and had it x-rayed, they said, well, we'll set your elbow, but this is a kind of break that you will always have very limited use of. And I went, uh-oh, that is not my belief. I do not believe
mm-hmm.
in limitation. So I said, thank you very much, and I walked out of the doctor's office, and I went home, and I put on this very peculiar healing tape that I have from years ago. And I sat there every day for 2 weeks, and I just sent loving, kind energy to my elbow. I kept it very still, and my elbow is absolutely 100% fine. It is not limited. You are not a statistic, Rhonda. You learned your way to say, okay, I had a broken back, and this is what the medical world would say about my particular break, but this is me, and this is what I
mm-hmm.
am going to do with my level of inner awareness and thinking and my beliefs. You'll make a different decision than they will give you
mm-hmm.
all the time. And that's so powerful when people recognize that they too can do that. And that takes self-confidence.
And, you know, yeah, and I want to encourage people that, you know, you can, you know, like, for me, what I did is I quit taking OxyContin, which is a pretty powerful narcotic, and I started taking turmeric and arnica, and I found that it worked a lot better for me than the OxyContin did. The OxyContin just covered up the pain, but I was still in the pain. Whereas with the turmeric and the arnica, and walking barefoot on the land that I'm on right now, it's like I let go of that pain and put it directly back into the Mother Earth, and then let it regenerate into a positive and pick it back up, you know, and it seems like that's been working quite well. You know, and people that are out there in pain, I would suggest walking in the grass barefoot or on, you know, some dirt barefoot, and I'll just sit, stand there and breathe and let that negative energy go in to the earth. Just imagine it moving out and then the bright yellow light coming down into your crown chakra, just cleansing everything down to your toes, you know, and it just, it is beautiful the way it works and how the divine works.
These are the mysteries of life that we cannot account for. I mean, we can account for how wonderful arnica is and how wonderful turmeric is and how wonderful a needed surgery is. But how you heal versus how somebody next to you in another bed who has the same injury heals is wonderfully mysterious, and it has everything to do with their innate or learned belief system. Now, I grew up as a complete optimist, and I still am, and so I don't lean towards issues like depression or so, but if I were to, I would have to relearn and reorganize my brain, and there's so much neuroscience behind this now that says, you know, if you think something over and over again, you will start building a new neural pathway to make it real for you. Now, that doesn't mean that you can think yourself into a red sports car, because that's a ego want. This is a inner awareness need of growing your soul rather than being restrictive. There's a difference.
Yeah, there is a big difference, you know, and my belief system used to be, you know, 20 years ago, you know, do what they tell you, don't question it, you know, it is what it is.
You've changed.
You know, I've changed a lot, you know, and it's all due to interacting with, you know, my curiosity of different healers, different aspects, different belief systems, you know, and how to apply it to myself and take the parts that I like and leave the rest. You know, I mean, I was raised Mennonite, you know, and I've tried every religion, I think, on the planet at this point, you know, and now I've kind of developed my own belief system around, you know, what works for me works for me. It may not work for someone else. But, you know, we're all part of this beautiful jewel, and we all have beautiful facets, and we all can, you know, absorb things from each other, or we can, you know, develop our own belief in what how we need to see it so that we feel connected to Source.
Well, what I see sometimes with women, because they have gone from their family home to their married home to having children and stuff, and they always taking care of everyone, which you and I did the same thing with our families. And then they wake up one day and they go, but who am I? I never had that situation. I always had a sense of who I was because that was important to me. And I always felt like I was on the little outside of societal world and cultural world. I wasn't like in the mesh of it, like following all the cultural dictates and all the fashion dictates and all the eat dictates. You know, I never went for the margarine to say, you know, I just always stuck with butter because I knew that they were making this up. And so you have to kind of look at where you're getting your information. Is it serving you? Is it serving
mm-hmm.
you, or is it serving the masses for some reason you don't need to understand? And
right.
sometimes people will say, well, that's selfish. It's not. It's self-love. It's a very different thing. It's self-love. How much do you love yourself? Do you love yourself enough to believe in yourself and take care of yourself? Do you love yourself enough to go and heal yourself rather than following the dictates of somebody who's not in your body? And even
mm-hmm.
though your intuitive self says, no, 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 don't follow that. That's not right for you. Yet you go for it because that's what you've been told to do. That does not
mm-hmm.
that does not serve you. That is not what Source put you here to do.
Right.
It's just not. You need to love yourself
no.
and Source loves you.
Right. And you have to just appreciate yourself. Yes,
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially
mm-hmm.
if you're in a negative situation. You're not getting a lot of positive feedback, you know, and you have
yeah.
to... I mean, what I had to do is learn how to shut that tape off and say, delete, delete, delete. You're no longer allowed here anymore. And be very open to, you know, having more, you know, changing it to a positive versus a negative, and learning how to do that took a while, you know, because it's like breaking a bad habit. You know, you've been told for a long time that you're not going to amount to much, or you don't count, or your beliefs are way off base. And bottom line is everybody has their own right to their own belief, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's
mm-hmm.
all part of the divine. You know, if we were a cookie cutter society, we'd be in trouble. You know, a lot of us break
well, and
the
that's
cookie cutter.
What I think, yeah, I think that's what makes people depressed is they do feel they're a cookie cutter. They do
right.
feel they're part of that, and they don't see, feel, or know the way out. And as Rhonda was saying, the way out is start deleting those negative aspects that come your way in your mind. And find a way to feel into your body. And that's very hard for our society because we live from our neck up, which means we
mm-hmm.
think everything. And we forget there's an actual physical, mental, spiritual, emotional body that is with us all the time. And one kind of easy thing for people to do if they're willing is to take their right hand and place it over their heart, the center of their chest, and just place it there and leave it there, and then just start to feel into whether there's energy behind there. And if they do this enough, they'll start feeling that beautiful, warm little circle that is their feeling self, their intuitive
mm-hmm.
self, their creative. And it's right there. And sometimes just putting the hand over the heart area is a reminder that you're here right now in this body that is a temporary body, but your soul, which is what you're feeling into, is eternal, and it's what you want to tap into to make all these beautiful decisions for your life and for those around you, you know, smiling in the grocery store. Really heart-to-heart smiling, not this fake smiling stuff. You know, not love you on the phone. Real stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Real, heartfelt, eye-to-eye contact with somebody who you don't know is maybe having a horrid day or a wonderful day, but you're connecting with them person to person. And that is coming from this heart center. And
mm-hmm.
if the more we can do that, with love and appreciation and real again. You have to be real. You can't just say, well, I'm here. I'm going to give this guy a smile and see what happens, blah, blah. No.
Yeah.
It's like, it's you got to be in your true self as to who you are reflecting them to you and you to them. And that's a beautiful moment. It's a
mm-hmm.
beautiful moment. We need so much more of that. so much more. The words,
well, yeah,
thank you,
I think
are amazing.
Yeah, because we do need to thank people for helping us, you know, and being in our presence and letting them know that they do count and they do matter. I mean, it may be the words that person absolutely needs at that moment, you know, and just be seen that they are appreciated and that they're doing a good job, you know, at whatever
mm-hmm.
it is they're doing, no matter, you know, how big or little the job is, you know.
Yeah.
And because
yeah.
we all are part of the picture, you know, and if we don't have that, you know, I mean, where would we be without gratitude? I mean, we really need to be more grateful for what we have on a daily basis instead of wanting more, more, more.
Yes. When I woke up this morning, I go out every morning and say my prayers out in our backyard, which is very secluded, which is lovely. And the smell was fabulous. It must have rained a little in the middle of the night and I didn't hear it. And the little puffy clouds were just like, wow, man, this is just drop dead gorgeous. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thanking the universe. I'm thanking Source for letting me be aware of it, because
mm-hmm.
just as easily I could not have been aware of it. But just feeling that energy of the morning can
right.
stay with you all day long.
Oh, yeah.
All day long. And it'll make a difference in your life. And you and I were talking about what ease is in someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this whole spiritual path is to me, is to find and live the ease. And that means going with the flow. My husband and I were on a wonderful adventure, car trip that we hadn't been on without children. Our children are grown, but we hadn't been on one by ourselves, and a little bit of camping and hotels and places we hadn't been to before and some we had been to before. And we had a loose agenda. My husband's a photographer, so he knew where he wanted to be to photograph whatever, and I was just like, whatever. And we just stayed with the flow and with great gratitude and thanks. And every place we went, we like got the last room, the last campsite, an upgrade, whatever. It was just like almost magical. We turned to each other and say, how did this happen? Well, it happened because we were in ease. We were following very interesting spiritual tools, which are the flow. You kind of organize
mm-hmm.
things. Get it in your mind. But if it doesn't work out, you're not going to fight it. Fighting it is not easeful. You're going to allow something else. Well, we're not going to that park because it's too crowded. Let's go to this national park, this state park. Let's go on this hike where there's not a person in sight, where you turn the corner and there's 50,000 people. Okay, we like that. We like the discovery and being in the flow. It just made our trip extraordinarily magical. And it just seemed like there wasn't, you know, my husband would say, well, turn off here, we're going to go here. I'm going, oh, we are? And then something fabulous happens. And you just don't know unless you allow for that ease in your life. And that's giving up control. And letting
yeah.
the flow happen. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And
that it's beautiful.
Is a spiritual path. That's a spiritual path that people don't recognize as being like uber spiritual, but it is, because you're allowing. And that's what one of the words that you want to think about. You're being open, you're going with the flow, you're allowing. You're not getting upset. You're just being. You're accepting what is.
Yes, and being grateful for that, and no matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you know?
I had one grumpy day where I just felt like, oh, God, you know, I really need to sleep, because sometimes I don't sleep well when I'm camping or if it's too cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found this fabulous room. We got the last room at this beautiful inn in Nowhere, Utah, with one of the top best restaurants in the U.S. that we landed at. We didn't know. We didn't know where we were. And I look around, I sit down at this restaurant, I go, where are we? You know, there's prayer flags and Buddhas. And then I read into their history, and they had had monks come and bless the place as they worked with it. They did a lot of land preparation according to the native tradition. They brought in all this fabulously good energy, and you could feel it, and you could feel it in their food. And we just, you know,
wow.
That was one of those, oh, this looks good. Let's eat breakfast here. And I was like, wait a minute. This is like being in the city and eating fabulous food, and you're out in Nowhere, Utah. This doesn't happen
exactly.
All the time. But
no.
It does if you're on the search for the mystery,
yeah.
And you're appreciating the search for the mystery.
Very much so.
That's the way I like it.
And we're
to
down
live.
To our last... Yeah, we're down to the last 2 minutes. You want to tell people the different workshops you're doing and your website and how to get a hold of you?
Yes. Thank you, Rhonda. My website is DearSource.com, and it's got a lot of information in it. It's got my posts where I talk to Dear Source and figure out what's going on in life and how people react to it. And it's got a Q&A with Claire, my soul personality. I love to teach people about their soul personalities. And Posey, my ego personality. She's a little pissier than Claire, who's clear. I'm doing a webinar tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Soul Activators online. That's on my website. I'm going to the Sacramento Healing Arts Festival on Saturday, if anybody's in the Sacramento region. And I'm teaching an Intuition 101 class in my town, Nevada City, California, in August, as well as an online class on Learn It Live. And that's called The Ultimate Life Hack Intuition. And that's a online class. So, and bringing out my second book, hopefully within the month, we'll see. And that's called Dear Source, Reflections on Life, Ego, and Soul. And I enjoyed so much talking to you.
Yes, and we'll have to do another show in the next. Oh, thank you. and I really wanted to have you back on the show so that we can continue this conversation and talk about your new book and what you keep moving into and how we're moving into this, a lot of us together. And
yes.
With that, we're out of time, listeners. Please download this archive, and when you get there, push follow so that you'll be alerted as to when the shows are and who the guests are going to be. And with that, I bid you adieu. I hope you all have a marvelous week. Make it as awesome as possible.
Be an ease. Thank you, Rhonda.
Be an ease. Yes. Talk to you later.
Bye.